everything working today?
Oh, very good. Because maybe they forgot their sheets. I don't know if people remember to bring everything. Okay. I think you might need it. Today we just need to go to 27.
Okay.
So we're fine. Are you going to follow me, is it? Okay. Jaya Rada Madhava Kanchari Hare. Jaya Rada Madhava Kanchari Hare. Yeah. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langkayate girim yakipam damam bande Shri Guru janatavinam Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasamai Shri Gurave Namaha. So if you have your verses, then you can look at them, and otherwise is up here. We'll do first verse 23. So I'll sing it through once. And then we can repeat line by line. Yata Hrishikesha Kalena Devaki Kanse Nuruta Tichinam Sujapita Vimochitam Cha Sahatma Javipo Tayeva Natena Mohur Vipadganat Yata Hrishikesha Kalena Devaki Kamse naruta tichiram sucharpita
Kamse naruta tichiram sucharpita
Vimochitam cha sahatma cha vipo
Vimochitam cha sahatma cha vipo
Tayaiva natena moho vipadganat
Tayaiva natena moho vipadganat
Vishana Mahagne Purusara Darshana. You can go ahead. Repeat. You can say it.
Oh,
it's not there? Oh. Yeah, we're just going to sing the verses.
Just the verses. I put the verses in the translation.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll need them later. But now we can go to the next verse. Okay. Vishana Mahagne Purusara Darshana. Asat sabhaya vanavasa krichata
Asat sabhaya vanavasa krichata
Mrithe mrithe neka maharatastato
Mrithe mrithe neka maharatastato
Jaunya sutasya smahare pirakshita
Jaunya sutasya smahare pirakshita
Viparasantuta shashvat Tatra tatra jagakara bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam viparasan tuta shashvat. You can say shashvat. Tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam janmaishaya shita shibhir maishaya shita shibhir etamana madapuman Naivarhatya vitatum vai
Naivarhatya vitatum vai
Tvam akinchana gocharam
Mahakinchana gocharam
Namo akinchana vitaya
Namo akinchana vitaya
Nivita guna vritaye
Nivita guna vritaye
Atma ramaya shantaya
Atma ramaya
Kaivalya Pattaye Namaha.
Kaivalya Pattaye Namaha.
So now we will start. Before we start the verses, I would like to ask if anybody tried to see Krishna in your life yesterday during the day. And then anyway, the first question was, how do you see Krishna in your life? So did anybody try that yesterday? And if you did, would you like to tell us what happened? What you saw? How you saw Krishna? Yes?
I had the most blissful day yesterday.
You had the most blissful day yesterday. Very good.
I was cooking the last offering, and the whole time I was meditating your class.
The last offering here?
Yes.
Okay.
And then at about 11:30, I got a bit disturbed about something I saw, and I became sort of like my mentality changed.
Huh.
And then at that time, I was chanting my dal, and a one mustard seed just jumped out of a pan, just hit me on my lip, and I felt like it was like Krishna shutting me off.
Okay.
It was just amazing, you know, even like making the bowls, you know, putting the bowl on the plate. It was also like the whole thing was like.
It makes a difference when you try to apply what you hear to your life. So that's why I just wanted to give you a taste of that. Of course, every day we'll be doing that, but in different ways. And of course, if you're attached to just seeing Krishna, you can do that every day, you know, no problem. Become Krishna conscious. But we will give you other things to do, and you can meditate on that on different days. Anybody else tried to see Krishna yesterday, or saw Krishna in some way in your life that you can share with us? Ariel?
Krishna helps you to overcome material desires when you surrender to what he... Well, basically, if you read and you hear... Then you can see Krishna enters into your consciousness.
Okay.
So then you feel that the material desire that you have, it can just go away. So Krishna can be present.
Wow.
In that way.
So by reading and hearing, you found that it helped you to overcome material desires. Oh, very good. So there's different ways to see Krishna. Anybody else tried to see Krishna yesterday? Yes?
It's a cloudy day.
It's a cloudy day.
Clouds are Maya.
Clouds are Maya, okay.
And from a distance there's a little patch of blue sky.
Uh-huh.
So the thought of the sun coming out was impossible. But because there was that little blue patch of one here, hope against hope.
Hope against hope. Yeah, so our life might be very cloudy at the moment. But there's a little patch of blue, and that gives us hope that we can advance. or go to Krishna, reach Krishna somehow. Anybody else see Krishna yesterday in some way in your life? Yes? Krishna reveals himself through the words of his devotees.
Sometimes I hear things, it's just disturbing the ego, and you know, it's shuffling it around, and I have to make some adjustment, and it's usually because I think that I'm so great, mm-hmm. and I see that who is the greatest.
Okay.
And I'm the smallest, and in that way, Krishna's.
Okay. When your ego is insulted, then it's good to think how you're the smallest and Krishna's the greatest. And you're not the greatest. Okay? I saw Krishna, I was eating lunch at somebody's house, and there was a beautiful picture of Krishna. And you always think that, you know, Krishna, his eyes must always be open, because if his eyes aren't open, then we can't see either. But I saw this picture where Krishna had his eyes covered. And how can that be? How can Krishna have his eyes covered? Can you imagine? Well, actually it was Radharani, and she had her hands over his eyes. So only his devotees can cover his eyes. But in this world, nobody can do that. Only in the spiritual world. His devotees have that power. They can even cover Krishna's eyes. I thought, oh, that's amazing. So today, there's one more question. Now, if you couldn't see Krishna, did anybody find obstacles to seeing Krishna in your life yesterday? Anybody have any obstacles? Yes? Worrying what people think of you is an obstacle to seeing Krishna. Yes, because what are you thinking of?
Yourself.
So it's an obstacle if you're worried about what people think of you. That's an obstacle to seeing Krishna. Because then, who is the center? Yourself. Yes?
If you're tired and lazy, you just want to go to sleep.
Okay, that's an obstacle. Okay, you felt tired, so you found that was, at that point in your life, it was an obstacle to seeing Krishna. Because you were tired and just felt like going to sleep. Yeah, so these can be obstacles to seeing Krishna. So Kunti's praying to Krishna, appreciating his qualities. He's beyond the material nature. He is the supreme person, original person, within, without. And he comes for the Paramahansas, so how can we women see you? But Kunti does understand Krishna. She glorifies his name, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, his form, Namo Pankajanavaya, and meditating on his form and his name. So today's class is going to be basically about the aspect of Krishna, of how he protects his devotees. Protection will be the main theme today. But you will have a choice of questions again to apply to your life. So I will read the first verse. Yatha Rishikesha Kalena Devaki Kansena Rutar Chichiram Sucharvitam Vimochitam Cha Sahatma Javipo Tayevanatena Mahuriparkanat. O Rishikesha, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So we heard about the name, we heard about the form, and now we're going to hear about the qualities and the activities of Krishna. So one of his qualities is that he's bhaktivatsala, he's very attached to his devotees, and he protects him because he's attached, because he loves his devotees. He manifests that affection by protecting them and helping them. So although Krishna is beyond this world, he comes to this world to protect his devotees and to kill the demons. Of course, it's simultaneous. It's not that he has to come to kill the demons. One, Prabhupada says, one tsunami wave is enough, or so many things can come and kill the demons. An earthquake. Earthquakes are also happening now. So they kill millions, they kill thousands of people. And so this is, Not necessary for Krishna to come for that purpose. His material energy is sufficient to do that. But he comes to protect his devotees. And because Krishna has all these qualities, this proves that he's a person. A person has qualities. If somebody has qualities, then they must be a person. He's not nirakar. And Srila Prabhupada said that, just like myself, Srila Prabhupada said that, unless I'm a person, how can I direct all these devotees? I'm receiving letters. I'm giving direction. So how can I give direction if I'm not a person? Well, Krishna is also a person. And now we want to study this wonderful person, Krishna. And Gita says that if you can understand his birth and his activities, you will be liberated immediately. You don't have to wait. So it's very simple. Just understand Krishna. Or try to understand. Even Srila Prabhupada, he's more merciful than Krishna. So Krishna says, if you understand my birth and activities, you will be liberated. And Prabhupada says in his lecture on that verse, if you just try to understand Krishna's birth and activities, you will be liberated. So we are trying now to understand Krishna. Very difficult to understand Krishna. Who can understand Krishna? Even Brahma can't understand Krishna. But we are trying. And we're trying to understand Krishna through the eyes of Kunti. You can understand Krishna through his devotees. So here she's saying, Muhur Vipad Ganat. Prabhupada said 24 hours there was danger for the Pandavas, because always they were trying to kill them, the Kurus. So Muhur means 24 hours, Prabhupada said. And Vipad Ganat means not just one danger, but many, many dangers, multitude of dangers, so many kinds. Now, Devaki, they only had one danger. They had just Kamsa. But Kunti had so many dangers. They were in the forest. Draupadi was insulted. So we'll hear about that in the next verse. So they had to face so many dangers, and they were great devotees. So we should not think that now I've become a devotee, there will be no danger. Danger will come, but then we'll see how we are protected by Krishna. And then it becomes very sweet. Even the danger becomes sweet. And that's why Kunti is asking for more dangers. So sometimes it's not so dangerous. We just get a little cold or a fever or something, and that's enough to knock us out of shape. One time, Govinda Dasi had a cold when she was serving Srila Prabhupada, like a little cold. And Prabhupada said to her, "You know what this means? This means Krishna is checking off your account. You have an account of colds and fevers and different things. But he's just giving you something very little. You should have died, maybe. But he's just giving you a little cold." And so whenever we get a little cold, we can remember that it's just a little indication of something we did in our last life, something very bad we did in our last life. But in this life, Krishna is minimizing it and making it very small. So we always should remember that this is a place of danger. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then the dangers will become actually ecstasies for us, just like they did for Kunti. So Vimochita is releasing from the danger. Kunti is teaching us that if you become a sincere devotee, Krishna conscious, then you won't be disturbed by the dangers. So now dangers are coming, we get disturbed. This is the problem. The problem is not the danger, because we're in a dangerous place. It's going to be dangerous. The problem is how we react to the danger. How do we react? Are we, when danger comes, when we have a problem, where do we go for shelter? That is the question. Suppose we have some mental problem. Do we eat a lot of food? Do we eat more prasadam? Or do we go shopping? Some people, I just read somewhere, there's a new addiction. It's called shopping. That people are addicted to shopping. I think I saw this in the Back to Godhead magazine. They were writing an article how it's an actual addiction now. That unless, sometimes people, they can't control it. And they, you know, they just have to go shopping. And that relieves their anxieties. And they're very happy when they go shopping. And so this is not what to do when danger comes. Suchirani was a devotee. I think she was from Australia. Yeah. She was up in Govardhan. She was actually going to leave her body very soon. She was dying of cancer. And she was at the Govardhan retreat on a mattress. They brought her out and she was just lying there. And we were all sharing our realizations at the end of the retreat. She said, you must find shelter beyond this gross and subtle body. You must find that shelter. And it's best if we don't wait until the time of death. It's better if we do it now. We take that, we find that shelter now. And that'll save us a lot of anxiety and a lot of suffering. Because the anxiety is mostly in the mind. And the mind is making us crazy. The only shelter is Krishna. In America, one time, there was one lady. Where I used to live in America, in the Midwest, they have these tornadoes. I don't know if you have them here. They're like big whirlwinds, huge. Not so much. They do come. Yeah, so one time, one lady, she saw a tornado coming. It was coming very, a little far away. And then she thought, okay, I better call 911 on my phone. But then as the tornado got closer, she saw the police car was in the... I put down the phone and realized they're not going to help me. So actually, our only shelter is Krishna. He can even protect us from the tornado. And there are many tornadoes coming in our lives. And so we must practice to take shelter of Krishna when danger comes. Another thing to do, like I was anticipating before coming here to New Zealand, I had a 2-day trip on the, and so many airplanes, so many stops, and I was anticipating, I'm not going to survive, I'm going to get really sick maybe. So I told some devotees to pray for me, and it was quite interesting. I was feeling sick on the first day, and then after the first day, sometimes I would feel all of a sudden better, and I thought, oh, someone's praying for me now. It must be it, because there's no reason. Usually I get worse and worse, but this time I got better on the second day in the plane, and I was thinking, wow, some very powerful prayers are happening there. So that we can take shelter of Krishna and the devotees also. Devotees are very powerful. Prayer is a very powerful means of shelter. You can pray and you can have people pray for you. And also we have here our beautiful Nitai Gaurachandra. Nitai, Nityananda, he is the most wonderful shelter. And it is said by Narottam Das Thakur, Nitayir charana satya tahar seva kanitya Nitai parasada korash. And Srila Prabhupada explains that we've taken shelter of so many things in this world, but later on they prove false. Some of us may take shelter of our mother, our father, our husband, our children, but eventually we see they are fallible soldiers. Of course, we have to have our nice grihastha life, but the only way to do it is to use everything and use everyone in Krishna's service and see how they're connected to Krishna at the same time. So we may have so many shelters, but we should always try to get the ultimate shelter of Krishna whenever anything happens. Like the first night also when I came here, I couldn't sleep. I had jet lag. I slept till midnight, and then I woke up very wide awake. And so I started chanting my rounds, and I got... Because I start after midnight if I can't sleep, then I start chanting. I got 7 rounds done, and then I slept at 2:30 to 4:30. So anyway, yes, whenever even small things or big things happen, we should try and take shelter of Krishna. So now the next verse, verse 24, is up there? Yes, good. This time I'm checking. So I'll sing this verse. Vishan mahagne purushara darshanat asat sabaya vanavas krichata mithe mithene ka maharatastata My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So the poisoned cake... One thing was that all these dangers came, but in each instance, the Pandavas came out better than before. So the first one was the poison cake. That was Bhima. The other Pandavas, they were playing. They were playing together with the crews. And so the other Pandavas somehow went away, and Bhima was still playing. And they fed him some poison sweets. Bhima, he can't resist eating. So therefore, even though it was full of poison, he ate the whole thing. And they tied him up in chains and threw him into the Jamuna River. And he sank to the bottom. And that when he got to the bottom, there were some snakes there, and they bit him, and they neutralized the poison that he had eaten. And they were so excited to see him. They were Nagas, not ordinary snakes. They invited him down to their place in Patala Loka. And he went down there, and they gave him a nectar to drink, which made him 100 times stronger. And he stayed there for a few days, you know, having a good time down there. And of course, the other Pandavas were really worried. And then finally he came up rejuvenated and ready to fight even stronger. And then they went to the house of Lak, which was set on fire. And they went after that when they were like dressed as Brahmins. At that point they got Draupadi. So that was also a benediction that they were in this house, because they left the kingdom and then they went and they won Draupadi as their wife. Then Vishan Mahagne Purishara Darshanat. So while they were incognito, while they were as living as Brahmins at Ekachakra in West Bengal, a cannibal came. Actually, this Rakshasa was eating someone from every house. Every house had to give an offering of one of their family members. So when it came time for the Brahmana family where they were living with, all of them were crying and saying, "No, I'll go. No, I'll go. No, if you go, I have to go too." And then Kunti heard, and she said, "I'll send one of my sons. I'll send Bhima. Don't worry. He'll take care of him." So again, it was for the better, because Bhima killed the Rakshasa, which was giving so much trouble to the whole village. So every time they have a danger, it turns out the opposite. It turns for the better. And then Draupadi was in the assembly, and she was trying to be stripped naked, and Krishna came to save her. And it was actually because of that, that was the purpose of her birth, that because of her, the great battle of Kurukshetra was going to be fought to reinstate Yudhisthira as the king, as the emperor of the world. So then they were sent to the forest. While they were in the forest, Arjuna went to the heavenly planets. He got all the celestial weapons ready to fight. And while they were in the forest, so many sages, Vyasadeva, Narada came there, and they had such good association. Durvasa came, but they didn't get his association, because Krishna came and protected them from Durvasa's wrath. So actually, wherever they were, the dangers became benedictions. Battle of Kurukshetra, that was the purpose of Krishna's appearance, to kill all these demons through Arjuna. And while speaking with Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Pariksit referred to this. He said this battlefield was like an ocean, and the warriors were like ferocious fish and sharks. But by the grace of Krishna, my grandfather Arjuna crossed this ocean very easily. And then finally, the weapons of Ashwatthama, Krishna protected personally by going into the womb of Uttara. So how does this relate to us? When we're in danger, when Prabhupada was here, there were so many battles that we had to fight. In Bombay, there was a fight for the land. As I explained, we were living on the land without any facility, because Prabhupada insisted for us to live there just so that we could get the land. Because once you live on the land, then you get it in India. If the deities are there, if the people are there, if tenancy is there, then you get the land. So he insisted we live, and the men were living in this hut, and we were living on the roof of the building, the women. just to get that land. And then I moved to Calcutta, and while I was in Calcutta, they attacked the land, and they destroyed the makeshift temple that was there at that time. And they were going for the deities, actually. And my god sister, Maithili, she was a pujari, so she was trying to protect the deities. She had one hand on one pole, one hand on the other. And they just grabbed her, took her by the hair. They were dragging her by the hair. And they arrested all the devotees. She went off to jail. And so that was how it was. There was a fight, and of course, Srila Prabhupada was victorious in that fight. Then again, in New York, the deprogrammers, these people who are trying to, they take devotees away and then force them to go back to eating meat and all these things. So they had a case against one of our devotees in New York, the temple president, I think his name, Adi Keshava. And there was a court case, and Prabhupada said, you take our books as evidence. Just in front of the judge, take all of our books and say, this is the evidence that our movement is actually bona fide. And so now there may also be problems. Like I teach in Nepal as well. In Nepal, there was a problem last year where they were trying to take the temple away from the devotees. And so they were threatening the devotees. So one night, these people came and they said, if you don't sign this paper to give the temple to us, then tomorrow we will either burn your temple or bomb it. You choose, burning or bombing. So the devotees didn't sign. And so then that night, one of the leaders, he had a Ugra Nishinga, and Ugra Nishinga went to the temple overnight that night. So in the morning, that devotee who had his Nishinga, he was leaving for India, and he said, okay, what happened? And he got a phone call. The devotee said, Jai Nishringadev. So he said, well, what happened? He said, oh, this person who came last night, he went to the dentist this morning and he dropped dead at the dentist. And there's this other, like, kind of ferocious guy who's like a martial arts guy. And his other, he was also like a mafia guy, so his mafia friends cut him to pieces. So, Ugra Nishinga Kijai. Yeah, so it works. You can be protected by, in my life, so many examples how I was protected by Krishna. So we can have that faith, and you can try it out. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a great danger. Even like if you get angry or something, you know, that's, you lost it. Like you fell into the modes. So you can, when you fall into the modes of nature, then you, okay, where is Krishna? Let me find protection of Krishna somehow to protect me from these modes of nature. This anger, this lust, this greed, so we can do that. And everybody needs protection. Not just the women, the men need protection too. Arjuna was the example that he was the best warrior, he was the greatest bowman. But in the absence of Krishna, then he felt, he was defeated actually. And he said, I'm the same Arjuna, it's the same bow, the same horses, but Krishna's gone, so nothing's working for me. He lost it. So then, of course, he remembered Bhagavad Gita in that instance, and that saved him. So Srila Prabhupada, he used to quote this verse, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. That means, give up all your different ideas of protection. I mean, he translated in different ways. In Gita it says, abandon all varieties of religion. In this case, when Prabhupada talked about protection, he said, give up all your concocted ideas of protection and surrender to me, and I'll protect you. Mamekam. Don't worry. I will protect from what? From this, from your reactions of your past sins. So Brahma also, he's the greatest person in this universe. He prayed for protection from fall down. He says, I'm going to be the creator of this universe, and now I'm going to have to associate with all these vicious living entities because I have to create their bodies and their planets. Please protect me from fall down. Actually, two types of fall down he prayed for protection from. One was from bad association fall down, and the other one was from deviation. So we always have to be careful of these two things as devotees. The bad association and deviation means trying to put some of our own ideas into the philosophy or trying to change the philosophy or compromise. We should accept Gita as it is. So when we chant Hare Krishna also, we can chant like a child crying for the mother, I've fallen also into this material ocean, please protect me, please lift me up. And that protection that we're praying for when we chant is, please engage me in your service. And that is protection. That is a very strong source of protection. So Radhanath Maharaj gave a very nice example of how you need to get protection from Krishna, protection from Maya. One time, before he was a devotee, when he was a young boy, he used to deliver newspapers to people's houses. And sometimes there would be dogs. Beware of the dog. So one time he opened the door to somebody's house and he was face to face with a huge dog who was like ready to jump on him. And so what did he do? He called for the owner of the dog. Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith, your dog is here, please. And he called the dog and the dog ran instantly away. So when we're face to face with Maya, Krishna, Krishna, please come. Please help me. There is, take your Maya away. Because Maya is Krishna's dog also. And if we just pray sincerely, then Krishna will help us. So how were the Pandavas, what was their consciousness when they were suffering all these dangers? Were they angry with Krishna? Why did you do this to me? We are, after all, you know, we're your devotees, we're your best devotees after all, and how come we have to suffer all these things? No. Narada Muni one time went to visit the Pandavas when they were in the forest. And then he reported back to Krishna. And he said, Krishna, you know, this is actually in Nectar Devotion also, this account. He said, your devotees, by becoming your devotees, they are so happy, they've lost their kingdom, their wife is insulted, they're banished for 12 years. He said, so this is very nice, isn't it? Of course, he's joking. He said, but the wonderful thing is, in spite of all these inconveniences, their love for you is increasing. What have you done? You've hypnotized them, I think. What have you done to them that they're suffering all these things and they're loving you even more for it? So this is the test of the devotee. Arjuna, when he was fighting on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, his son was killed practically, not in front of him, but it was in front of his brothers. His brothers couldn't save him. His son, Abhimanyu, was killed on the battlefield. So when Srila Prabhupada was giving one Bhagavad Gita class in India, one Indian person raised his hand and said, Swamiji, I think Arjuna is not a pure devotee because when his son died, he was lamenting. So that means, and he heard the whole Bhagavad Gita, and you told him you should not lament for the living or the dead. So how can he, and he heard your Bhagavad Gita, so how can he be a pure devotee because he was lamenting? So what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, no, he said, lament, this is natural. He's a human being, so he's going to lament for his son. These emotions are natural. This affection is natural. But the proof that he's a pure devotee is that he did not give up the fight. He did not go home and say, okay, I quit. My son's dead. I'm not doing anymore. I'm leaving my devotional service. And that's it. Goodbye. No. Next day he fought even more ferociously than before. So this is the test of if someone is an advanced devotee, that he will continue his service even though there are impediments, obstacles, and so many things. So then the next verse, Kunti is expressing her feelings that she prefers danger with Krishna to happiness without Krishna. Verse 25. Viparsantuta shashvat Tattatattara chikatkara bhavato darshanam yatsyada punarbhava darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So as we said yesterday, it's not a good practice to pray like this. Don't pray for calamities, because you don't need to pray for calamities. They will happen. They will come. It's natural. This is Kali Yuga. This is the material world. And it's the time for calamities. And there's terrorists. There's so many things. Anything can happen. So don't pray for it, because if it happens, then you'll regret it. You'll regret your prayer. If it happens again and again, especially. Like Kunti. She had many, again and again, dangers. So, and I, as I said before, I've seen devotees who prayed like that, and they get it again and again. They break this, they break that, so many things. And their kids have trouble, and whatever, don't do it. But the point is that Kunti was not desiring an anxiety-free life, but a life of trial if she can remember Krishna, and if Krishna is there. So Punar, what does she say? What is the benefit of the danger? Apunar bhava darshanam. Because if whenever we're in danger, you come, you help us. I see you. We call you and you come. And so that's why we like danger. Now Krishna is saying goodbye to Kunti. He's leaving. He's going to Dwaraka. And she's lamenting, oh, you saved us. Now we've got the kingdom. You're going away. So I don't want this. I don't want this kingdom. Vipadasantu, let us remain in the danger, always, because then I will see you again and again. So Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, a very interesting thing, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. Isn't that interesting? Never looked at it that way, did you? It's just a dream, it's a bad dream, I'll wake up one day. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. So Burijan, in his book, Unveiling Lotus Feet, I was reading that last night, he said, the challenge of our life is to transform difficulties into sources of freedom. Now this is a very important thing for devotees, to transform difficulties into sources of freedom. There is one Guru Kuli girl, one of our youth, who was somehow, in her previous life, the astrologer told her, she was given a choice. In your next life, you can have a good marriage or you can have liberation. So she chose liberation. So she got married, she got children, the husband left, and so now she's trying for liberation. So these are choices that we make along the path. We always have choices to make, to be closer to Krishna or to kind of go away from Krishna. So if we're in a dangerous position and that danger helps us, then that's very good. In the 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse 8, there is a commentary, Nishina Chakravarti, there's a verse also. Devotees of the Lord do not regard as very troublesome the suffering he imposes on them. Indeed, they find in the end it gives rise to unlimited pleasure. Just like a stinging ointment applied by a doctor cures his patient's eye. So a very beautiful comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. There's two words. Vipad. Vipad means danger. And sampad. Sampad means opulence. Vipad and sampad. So she is praying for vipad, danger. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti said that but actually, in Kunti's case, the meaning is the opposite. Her vipad, her danger, was her opulence, her sampad, because she got Krishna. And her sampad, her opulence, material opulence, was her vipad. It was her distress because she lost Krishna. So, in her case, the words had opposite meanings. Generally, vipad means distress or danger, and sampad means opulence or happiness. For Kunti, they had the opposite meaning. So that's quite an advanced stage of life. New York, 1976, Prabhupada was very ill with fever and cold. And at that point, he wasn't ready to leave his body, but he was sick. And he was in New York Temple. He was going on the elevator down. And the devotees were trying to convince him, just go to Hawaii and take some rest, you know, in a nice, peaceful place. Don't go traveling so much all over the world, trying to tell Prabhupada that. Very difficult. And Prabhupada answered, I simply want the benediction like Arjuna to fight for Krishna until the last breath. So our homework for today, well, before I tell you, let us read one more thing from Srila Prabhupada. It's about being tested. Acharya Rishi asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that Krishna is testing us every day? We're having tests from Krishna? Prabhupada said, well, not exactly. If you want a responsible post, there is a test. But if you want to become a vagabond, a beggar, then there's no test. You don't have to worry. You're just taking it easy and not worrying about it. You won't be tested. So Treyi said, but for devotees? Prabhupada said, yes, for devotees there's a test. Just like Prahlad was tested severely, Bali was tested, Narada Muni was tested. Then Treyi said, the most advanced devotee, more severe the test? Prabhupada said, no. He said, after you pass the exam, there's no more test. He said, but before coming to the post of recognized devotee, Krishna tests very severely. That one has to pass. So before you become a recognized devotee, there is a test. Harisari said, I once read in Bhagavatam, in your purport, you said Maya is there to test the sincerity of the candidate. Baba said, yes. We can see the life of Bali Maharaj. He was put to the test. Even his guru cursed him, but he still remained determined in his determination. So he passed. So Navayovana asked, this test depends on one's faith in Krishna? Prabhupada said, that started a whole thing. What do you mean by faith? So Acharya says, conviction. So what's your conviction? Describe it. He said, Krishna is the controller. Prabhupada said, Krishna is the controller. You may have faith or not. He said, that doesn't matter. Trying to tell Prabhupada. So Harisari said, if one is convinced, Krishna will always protect him. And then Prabhupada gave the answer. Faith means you are meant for giving some service to Krishna. You should stick to that service, that path, in spite of all impediments. So it was the same definition of pure devotee. Faith, pure devotee, determination means you have a service, you don't give up. Because there's some problem, because there's some test, you don't give up your service. You say, okay, I'll find another movement. I think this movement is a little difficult for me. It's asking me too much surrender. I have to do too many things, and the better I go to some place where they say you can do what you want and do, and also become spiritual at the same time. Yes, there are movements like that. You can find them. Yes, you can also even become God if you want. It used to be if you thought like that, they would put you in the crazy place, in the mental institution. But now, it's like that. You become God and you're worshipped. Before, you said you're God and you go to the mental house, the mental hospital. Oh, you're God, really? Okay, well, we'll see about that. Off you go. And so anyway, this is the test. Passing of the test is if you are determined. So our homework for tomorrow is going to be, one of the questions will be, how is Krishna protecting you in your life? How do you see Krishna's protection in your day? So before we'll discuss that a little bit now. I would like you to think about a time in your life that you suffered while practicing Krishna consciousness. Or was there a time that you did not suffer? No, think of a time that you suffered.
Well,
it
was 5 minutes.
No, Yes, try. I mean, real intense suffering, not just, you know, you wake up with a headache or, you know, you don't feel like, you know, something that was like a test, actually, like a challenge in your life. So think about that. So if you got that, now think about why it happened. Why did it happen to you? Why did that happen to you, actually, of all people? Should have happened to somebody else, but it happened to you. Okay, now you got the why. Now, the next question is, how did you benefit from it? Was there a benefit of that suffering? Or in other words, what did you learn from it? So if anybody would like to share, you can share with us that if you have any thing you learned. You can don't have to tell us the whole scenario, but just what you learned from your suffering. Anybody would like to be bold? Yeah? You learned that you have a long way to go in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Yeah?
I got chastised really severely.
Uh-huh.
In public.
In public.
And I realized I didn't see what was going on in my heart. It needed a pure devotee to see it.
Okay, so the pure devotee saw something you didn't see going on in your heart.
And
okay, you wouldn't have coped without the kindness of the devotees. So you learned how, you learned the mercy of the devotees, and you learned also the other side too. How by the mercy can come in that way as well, and by seeing your challenges, your weak parts. Yeah, and that's the way to get over. So you learned that the way to get past an artist is by that association. Yes, there's a nice, beautiful example that one way they make that you have rough stones, rough, valuable stones. They put them in a bag and shake them together, and then they become smooth. So devotees are like that. We're kind of like all rough stones, and then we get together and we smooth each other out. Yeah. Yes, you had something. Okay. Right.
And then just after her birthday, she became severely ill.
Oh, it's really ill, right.
So she ended up in intensive care.
Wow, intensive
and
care.
The doctors started going on about that she's going to die. Sure. All the devotees were affected by it.
Wow.
Because she was on the way out, basically.
Wow.
So, in that time, I was exhausted of praying to Krishna.
You were praying so much. Right.
Mm. And we suffered like that. My whole family suffered like that for 12 years.
12? She was in intensive care for 12 years?
No.
Oh.
On and off. She'd been in intensive care for the time. But first year she had 21 admissions.
Wow.
And pretty severely, you know. So it took me 12 years just to at last call out.
Okay.
Better for us.
Okay. So go to Radharani in case Krishna doesn't hear you. That's what you learned.
Well, I learned one that said that if you want to get Krishna's favor.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. She's the mercy sign.
Tell him to just, you know, listen. So from that I must have read Radharani.
Okay. And if, I saw somebody else had their hand up over here. Was it? It was you. Okay.
Yeah, I got proud after, and so I got beaten by my own. And yeah, I got turned to the deity and got some humility.
Okay, you learned humility. Okay, good. So the benefits of suffering are many. They can make us stronger in Krishna consciousness. We have to try and learn from them. Try to learn, what is Krishna trying to tell me? What am I meant to learn? And if you don't learn it, it will keep going. And once you learn it, then the test is over. Once you learn what you're supposed to do. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was fighting with the Yakshas, he was covered with arrows. But that made him much better and stronger to fight. The example is just like a mountain is covered by arrows. It cleans the mountain by rain. It cleanses the mountain of all the dirt. So the devotee or the devotee who has troubles, who has sufferings, it takes away all his incompetency. It takes away all his anarthas and becomes very happy. So tomorrow you please, today, please see how Krishna is protecting you in your life. And we'll get back tomorrow. Now, next verse 26. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shibir E Tamana Matapuman Naivahatya Pitatumbai Twamakinchana Gocharam. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So these are obstacles, all these wonderful things. All the good things are obstacles too, not just the dangers. If you have a very high birth, if you're rich, if you're very learned, or if you're beautiful, then you tend to depend on these things. Because if you're a beautiful person, you like have a ticket into so many places. People just accept you. If you're learned, if you're knowledgeable, people accept you. If you have a high birth, you're accepted by people. And if you're rich, then you're on top of the world. This is Kali Yuga, so that is the criteria for who is high class, is somebody who has money. So these can be obstacles in our devotional service if we don't use them for Krishna. So people, they want to increase the fever. Prabhupada tells the story of a rich man. His wife and his servant both had fever. And the doctor came and he diagnosed the wife. Oh, your fever's not very serious. It's only, what do you use, centigrade here? So not very serious. It's about 38 or something. Yeah. And so, but your servant, she's very bad, 41, 42. So the wife said, why? I should have 42, she should have 38. Because I am the master. The servant should have less. So this is what people are thinking. I should have more money. I should have more fever. It's the fever of material existence. So I should have more money. I should have more cars. I should have more bank balance. But actually, it's the fever that we're desiring. We want more fever of material existence. This is indication that the fever is going up. So devotees can have these things also, but they must always remember to use them for Krishna. And then they won't be affected by these things. So this can be an obstacle to our chanting the holy name. If we chant and we have all these assets, then we think, I'm okay, no problems. I have my money, I have my bank balance, I'm quite okay. No danger for me. And then we get complacent, and then it's hard to call out to Krishna. It's hard to call out. And that's why Kunti was praying for dangers. So Prabhupada, I'll just read one little poem by Prabhupada. He says, I am sitting alone in Vrindavan Tham. In this mood I'm getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength it has all become tasteless to me today. Yasyaham anagrihnami harishe tattanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the All-Merciful? Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. Is this in this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders who were my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. So, yeah, and it may not, yes. When you get older, then you realize you're, of course, it's Kali Yuga, so your husband leaves, but it's not to take sannyas. And your kid leaves, but it's not to, you know, advance in spiritual life. And then you're all alone all of a sudden. And think, wow, what do I have now? My family's gone. They've left. Who am I? Because often we identify ourselves as wife or mother or all these things. But then when all these things are taken away from you, who are you really? Who are you? So sometimes we see the naked form of the material nature. So what is... Prabhupada said that he was also, when he was having a dream, his guru was asking him to take sannyas, he was afraid. He said, oh, I have to leave my family. This is horrible. He said, but no, I was forced, and this was good for me. I was also forced, renunciation, and I'm realizing it's very nice. It's actually the best thing that happened to me. So we have, sometimes Krishna gives us, and sometimes Krishna takes away from us. And so in both, this is also the example of the ocean, that the ocean, in the rainy season, so many rivers are coming in, so that's like when opulence comes. But the ocean is not disturbed. And then in the summertime, all the water is going out. It's being evaporated by the sun. So sometimes we lose everything. But we should be like the ocean, not to be disturbed. Either we get something or we lose it. Realize that it's not ours. We're disturbed because we think it's ours to have and to keep forever. It's a permanent situation here. And we have our permanent opulences. But actually, it's not. And so Srila Prabhupada was very renounced. Although he got, of course, he left Vrindavan, which was difficult, and then with nothing, practically, went to the West. And then he got everything. He got temples, he got devotees. And then in his last year, he had temples all over the world. But when he came to Bhuvaneshwar in Orissa, they had made an arrangement for Prabhupada to stay in a beautiful guest house. And where the land was at that point, there was no temple. It was just a hut where Gaur Govinda Maharaj was staying. And it was so far from the city, it was a jungle. And people were scared to go out there because of dacoits. And there were mosquitoes and snakes and scorpions. And when they told Prabhupada, they took him to the guest house, he said, no, I will stay in the hut where Gaur Govinda has built just for me. I prefer the hut. So even though he had so much opulence, he preferred to stay in that hut. So all these things, if we don't use them for Krishna, they become big zeros. So here we have all these things. You can't see it so well, but Janma equals zero, Aishwarya is zero, Shuta is, knowledge is zero, beauty is zero, etc. is zero. But if you add one, Krishna, to it, then you get very valuable. All your things become so valuable. At the bottom, there's Krishna. He's the one. He's the one you add to all the zeros. And then everything becomes so valuable. Use it in his service. So the last verse for today, verse 27, is up there. Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atmaramai shantaya kaivaya pattaye nama. My obeisances are unto you who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and master of the monists. So if we have nothing materially, then if we're devotees, we do have one thing only, and that is Krishna. Just like when I was in Vrindavan, I was interviewed by a TV station once. And they said, why have you come to this village? And I said, yes, in my country they have big skyscrapers, they have beautiful roads, everything is there that someone in India would love to have. you know, telephones that work. Of course, now it's pretty good in India now. Everything in those days, there was like one telephone somewhere where you had to go. Now everybody has cell phones, so it's different now. But I said, but there's one thing that none of those skyscrapers or roads or beautiful buildings can give, and that's we can find here in Vrindavan. There's a secret treasure, and that is Krishna that we can find here. So that's why I came here. I came here to find Krishna. And I'm satisfied that he's here. And so people, they want to go to America, to the West from India. Of course, now it's actually happening the opposite. And people are coming from the West to get jobs in India. And so they're on 10-year tourist visas. So now they change the visa. So you have to go out 2 months. You can only stay 6 months, and you have to go out 2 months. Because now, actually, India is becoming more. People are coming from America to get jobs in India. It's young people. And even Indians are going back like that. So it's a very difficult situation now in the West. But Krishna is taking everything away. And Prabhupada did predict that the American empire would fall. And so it's in the process of falling. I think the European one, too. Because I heard, before I left India, I heard 8 countries are going bankrupt in Europe. And I guess that's why it's falling. The euro fell from 78, now it's 50. 59, I heard. And in rupees, it fell 20 rupees. Just in 1-2 weeks. So it's, and the pound also fell like quite a bit. The dollar, everything. The dollar's going slower, but the euro is diving. And so it's happening, and our only solace is Krishna. Yeah, Krishna, he may want to take everything away from us. Srila Prabhupada said, I have that experience that Krishna is very dangerous. Someone said yesterday, Krishna is danger. So he's dangerous, he said. When he wants to give you his special favor, he will take everything away. So he said, I was a manager of a big chemical factory, had so much opulence, and Krishna just took it away. I should have been very rich, according to the astrologers. I should have been the richest person in India, but Krishna took it all away. And everything was collapsed, and I was forced to carry out the orders of my spiritual master. He said, I was thinking, first I'll make a lot of money, and then I'll use it for preaching. He said, and then when everything was taken away, I turned to Krishna, and I said, you are my only shelter. Now I have nothing but you. So this is Akinchana Vita. Krishna means, Akinchana Vita means that Krishna is our only opulence. He's the only one we have. And Atmaramaya, here it says also that if you, again, connect with Krishna, you will be happy, just like Krishna is happy. He's Atmarama. So you will be happy if you connect with Krishna. And that's how we were. In the old days, when Prabhupada was here, we had no money. We were all poverty-stricken. I remember being in Vrindavan, and we had to walk everywhere because none of us had money for rickshaw. The rickshaw was 1 rupee those days. And we didn't have the 1 rupee to go anywhere. So we had to just walk from Loy Bazaar to Ramanreti to anywhere. We were just walking everywhere. But we had very high spirits. We had no money. We had no temples, even. But we had very high spirits. We just had desire to please Krishna, and that was enough. And we were depending on Krishna, and miracles would happen to us. I know Malati told about one time they needed $400 for the rent money, and they didn't have it to pay the rent. And then she was out selling back to Godheads. One man walked up to her, gave her an envelope, and walked away, and she looked, and she couldn't find the man. She looked, and she didn't see where he went. Opened the envelope, $400 was in the envelope. And just like that. So, miracles were happening. When you depend on Krishna, then miracles can happen. Unbelievable, and you'll just be amazed how, when you depend on Krishna, how he comes through. So, our one question is, how do you feel Krishna's protection in your life today? And the second question is, How is Krishna taking away and how is Krishna giving to you? What is he taking away and what is he giving to you? You can look today. What in your day, how is, you can have a choice. Either how is he manifesting as protection in your life, or how is he taking and how is he giving away? So you have a choice. Two questions. So now, any questions from your side today about this class or these verses? Yes?
Talking about how you didn't have anything in the early days,
yeah.
And how you were satisfied and peaceful with that. And sometimes when we first come to Krishna consciousness, it can be like that.
Right, when we first come.
So that it can be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a reality? Do you know, is that the case for all devotees, or do you still know some devotees who are living poverty stricken and quite peaceful with that?
Yeah, I know some devotees who are living like that. Of course, I mean, the poverty line has gone up. I mean, what I was asking in my Bhakti Vedanta class, I was saying, you know, Prabhupada said in one purport that the preacher is provided all necessities by Krishna. So then I asked the devotees in my class, who are all preachers, because they're all teachers, they all go traveling and preaching. I said, so what is a necessity? What does a preacher need these days? What is a necessity? They all said, computer. Everyone. You must have a computer. Because then you have all the books, you have, you know, you can speak. So it's kind of like not exactly the same. It's like there are certain needs that weren't there before in the pre-technology age. Pre-computer age. Now there's different needs, but I see that even those needs are being provided. Nobody is really poverty stricken. We were a lot more on the floor and didn't know where our next meal was coming from sometimes. But now it's there's no necessity to live like that. Like the Christians, I think they take vows, the nuns, of poverty. Somebody was a nun, one of my god sisters said. They take vows of poverty. That's one of their obedience, poverty, and something else. Chastity, right? Those three vows they take. So it's not necessary. Prabhupada gives the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who had all opulence, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, his guru, who had nothing. And he said they were both equally renounced. So now it's not necessary. In the beginning of the movement, it was the way it was and how we had to do it and to start. But actually, even today, it can be that way if you go and start a temple and you have nothing. That's how they used to do, just give us a ticket somewhere and go start a temple, you know. You know, one-way ticket to somewhere. And you just land and then you have to find a place, you have to, you know, start from scratch. Get money, you know, somehow get a place to stay, get food, you know, just, that's how they used to do it. When we would go for visa too, they would do that to us. We had a phone number in Burma. We went for a visa, we had a phone number, we phoned the guy up when we got there, and then we did get a place to stay and food. But if in Burma, if you're American, if you're not out in 7 days, they put you in jail. That was the rule then. So we had to get out too. We had to get our visa and get back in 7 days. So it's really like survival. But no, it's not necessary to be poverty stricken. But I do know people who have vows like that. That they don't tell anyone, but they do have vows of depending on Krishna for money, for different things. They have like that where they don't endeavor. They don't endeavor for money, they don't endeavor for things, and they depend on Krishna. And their experience, they told me that Krishna never fails. Krishna always comes through in very unbelievable ways, in miraculous ways. So, I mean, when you're forced to depend, or if you voluntarily do that, then you see how wonderful Krishna is, actually. But then you have to go, you have to try and depend on Krishna. Then, okay, I'm turning to you. Yes?
Isn't that...
Right, brahmachari sannyasi, yes. They are meant to do that. And in the beginning, we were all expected to be on that level. Even if you're grihastha, you're expected to live like a brahmachari. We had no money. All our money we had to give to the temple, and we were living in the temple. And, yeah, in the beginning, we were all living like sannyasis and brahmacharis. It didn't matter if you're grihastha or anything. And we all had to live like that. I guess that was what I was trying to say. And we're forced, actually. We're forced to live like that. But we thought it was fun, you know. It was quite exciting. It wasn't an austerity for us. Yeah.
No.
Right. The issue is not opulence or poverty. The issue is the inner renunciation, that it is, you're seeing it as Krishna's. That's the point. Very good. And as was Prabhupada's point, Bhakti Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Gaur Kishore equally renounced. And one had opulence, one had was poverty stricken. He was keeping himself. Yes?
How can you gauge how much opulence you should have?
Yeah. How can you gauge? Well, how can you gauge how much opulence you should have? If you have a bank balance that is not, you know, used for Krishna or for your maintenance, actually the way Prabhupada said it is that anything over your maintenance, if you are collecting over, if you have a bank balance that's over your maintenance, and over, you know, like you need things for school, you need to buy things, you know, whatever your standard of living is, that's okay. But then if you have excess, then Kali will come. If you have excess money, if you just keep it and don't use it, then that is where Kali has five places. The four regulative principles, if broken, Kali goes there. And also, if you have excess money, it will be a source of unhappiness for you if you don't use it. Yeah.
Makes you feel safe. Like if you have material opulence and it makes you feel kind of safe, then that's probably excessive, is that right?
If it makes you feel safe. If you're depending on it, you say, okay, this is my protection, then there could be excess. But if you're just living and you're completely, your whole life is for Krishna, and you don't endeavor that much for it, then it's okay. It also depends on your endeavor, prayasha. If you're over-endeavoring, then it may be excess. But if you're not over-endeavoring, if you just have a balanced life, then it's quite all right. If your consciousness is on the money and making money, then it might be the wrong place or too much. But if your consciousness is more on preaching, as that is your service, or more on Krishna, then it would be okay. You just have to balance it, that's all. You have to balance it. Okay. Anything else? I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.